Good morning and happy Sabbath, family. It's an honor to and being able to speak on the day after Juneteenth is a double honor. And it's also an honor to have the privilege of being Black. I know my outward appearance can sometimes be confusing to people I meet. My mother's Black and my dad was white, God rest his soul. And I was born with a Hispanic appearance, but nevertheless, I was raised by my Black grandmother to be proud of my Black heritage. And so this is truly an honor. Thank you to our fearless leader, Pastor Wegar, for guiding us during these troubled and culture-shocking times as we navigate technology for the Lord's work and for his kingdom. I'm eternally grateful for this opportunity today, and I'm super proud of our Berean family, especially our youth of the church this morning, who time and time again show that they are committed to allowing the Lord's will to be done through them. And on behalf of my wife and I, as the youth ministry leaders, we're eager and we're excited to see you all in person again soon when the timing is right. Amen. At this time, I'd like to usher in the Spirit through prayer. Pray with me, family. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, the time has come once again for your heavenly children to exalt your name. Use my vessel, O Lord, for the furthering of your kingdom. Allow your Spirit to speak through me this morning. In your beloved Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I invite you to join me in the Word of God. Our reading this morning comes from the New Testament. I'll be reading the King James Version of 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. That was 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. I'll be reading and you'll be hearing. Verse 6 says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Verse 7 reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth," verse 8, "he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Verse 11 reads, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." With the text still in front of you, I need you to please jump down to verse 16, which states, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Amen. Our corresponding text this morning will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. I'll give you a moment to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The King James translation reads, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, the New International Version gives a slightly different translation, and I'll read that now. It says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." God bless the hearers and the readers of his word. My brothers and sisters, there is a time for silence, and there is a time for vocalizing how you feel. And my brothers and sisters, now more than ever, we need to be lifting our voices in whatever way that we can to speak out on the social injustices that continue to plague us right now. I don't want to get too political this morning, but I would not be doing this platform any justice by not speaking against social injustice. Amen. And I don't mean to go from zero to 100 right now. And parents, this is a fair warning that the following message isn't for the light of heart. Parental discretion is advised when we have to talk about the details of death. This morning, I must find a way to express myself as best as I can. And I can't help but feel a bit infuriated inside when I think about what in the world that I am seeing from week to week happening in our country. No, I'm not talking about protesting. No, I'm not talking about rioting. No, I'm not talking about the burning of buildings. No, I'm not talking about looting of stores of multi-million and multi-billion dollar corporations. My brothers and sisters, this morning I'm talking about the looting of Black bodies right before our very eyes. I'm talking about the death of Black people at the hands of hateful and racist people that are meant to protect and serve. I'm talking about the death of a Black person while under arrest, handcuffed, complying as they are supposed to comply, yet being snuffed out and choked by a knee in their neck, cutting off their air supply until they pass away, until they gasp, "I can't breathe." I'm talking about the death of Black people at the hands of hateful and racist people who think they're above the law and want to chase down Black people with guns like some sort of vigilante group. My brothers and sisters, I can't help but notice that there seems to be a very recurring theme going on around us. And that theme is that there is a lack of love for Black people by our white brethren, especially here in America, namely persons in positions of authority. And if Christ is love, based on the verse, then there is a lack of Christ among those who lack love for Black people. As the text in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that live through him." We're hearing of not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And if you go back to verse 6 before that, the proclamation is that we are from God. Verse 6 says that we are of God. "He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, if you're a racist, then frankly, I don't care what you have to say. And I will tell you all day long, you need to take a long look in the mirror to question if you really are a Christian. By definition, a Christian is one who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. God himself says that if you want to harm me, if you want to suppress and oppress my people, if you want to kill my people, if you don't love us for who we are, proud Black people, then you don't know him. If you're listening to this message this morning and Black people aren't your cup of tea and you want to call yourself a Christian, I have some advice for you. You need to strongly consider unlearning your racism and asking God to reveal to you what true love is. Verse 11 in 1 John 4 goes on to say, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." This morning, I'm also talking to any of our white or non-Black brothers and sisters that you can't have hate for your Black brothers and sisters and be of Christ. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. You got to pick one or the other, love or hate. Verse 20 states, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they've not seen." Listen, I didn't write the verse. It's in the Bible already. Don't be upset with the messenger this morning. I'm just delivering the message. Either you have love for Christ and you have love for us Black people, or you are a liar and Christ is not in you. You're going to have to pick a side, and you got to stand on it firmly. God doesn't care too much for the lukewarm. And for the sake of your soul, I pray you choose the straight and narrow way that leads unto life and be one of the few there be that find it. God have mercy on your soul if you continue to choose the path of hate. My brothers and sisters, I think we all share the same sentiment that we need God to teach us to love. Amen. My brothers and sisters, unconditional love only comes from God and the love God offers. It's the only thing that can truly fill the void in our lives. The I just know and feel like there's something missing in my life void that everyone has, but not everyone is willing to admit. While you might find temporary fulfillment of love through people and material things, there is no true fulfillment in life without the love of God. You can't earn it.
Amen.
You can't buy it. You can't win it. But there is good news. The good news is he does not love you because of who you are anyway. Thank God that he loves us because of who he is and not because of who we are. If he loved us because of who we are and what we truly are, would he even want to love us? What does the Bible say about God's love? God's love takes many forms throughout the stories of Scripture. A glance at the story of creation reminds us that God loves us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's easy to get caught up in an identity crisis, isn't it? Especially when for so long, hundreds of years and counting, Black people were made to feel inferior. Some people want us to look in the mirror and frown at our own reflection. We glance at our legs and our hands or our stomachs and wonder why we fall short on the measuring stick. We forget or refuse to love ourselves as the beautiful work of God's hand, setting aside truth, assuring God's love for us. But creation reminds us of God's love, our reflection included. We are made in his likeness and image with blessing and fruitfulness in mind. God notes in Genesis 1:31 that all he made is very good. And if we refer back to our text today, we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. We are connected due to creation. We are loved by the very one who made us by his hand. God teach us to love. We see God's love in the story of Job. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. His life overflowed with wealth and blessings. Job's introduction in chapter 1:1 was admirable, to say the least. The Bible describes him as blameless and upright. Job feared God, refusing evil's foothold. He appeared to be the perfect child of God. Yet even he faced major trials and loss of much at the hands of Satan. But how could a loving God let something so awful happen? We look around today and ask ourselves the same questions. Why did George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or Rashard Brooks have to die the way they did? And we may never understand Satan's bent for evil while on earth, because blame ultimately sits there. Satan inflicts these harms. We may never understand why God appears to remain silent amid the turmoil, but one thing stands clear. God remains near. He never forsook him. He loved him. God never forsakes those who put their trust in him. Instead, he loves us. Whether situations look bleak or good, our God, the one who gives the horses strength and commands the eagle to soar, loves us and stands near. Just as God loved his servant, refusing to allow Job's life to linger in the hands of Satan, he does the same for you and me through the hope of heaven. God, teach us to love. We see God's love in David's Psalms. Your eyes saw my body. In your book, they were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were none of them. David's life was planned. As a youngster, the prophet Samuel anointed him as king of Israel, well before friends and family believed his potential for anything except shepherding sheep. God, however, knew his future. He wrote the pages of David's book, ordained the days of his life, even seeing David's body in the womb. God sees you, my black brother and sister, even in the womb. It's amazing when we think of the population of Earth and how God sees each of us. Billions of people travel from place to place, each containing a story, excuse me, written before their feet were formed, each a body on which God's eyes land. Our Father loves us enough to write an original story for each of us. That's love. God, teach us your love. We see God's love for Paul and Ananias. The Bible reads, Ananias departed and entered into the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me, that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul, a man formerly known as Saul, and one who persecuted followers of Jesus, found the love and mercy of Jesus Christ while traveling a dusty road to Damascus. The very Jesus he protested against is the very one who came near and spoke to Paul one-on-one. God changed Paul's life with love, and he can change our life too. My brothers and sisters, he can change a racist life too. It's a simple reminder of the love available in waiting. It was Paul's prayer, and it should be ours as well. We need to pray that the blinders would be removed. From all who are blinded from knowing the truth about God's love in their lives, the world needs to know the amazing truth about God's love. Even if you have nothing to offer, even if you've never done anything to deserve it, even if you feel like you've ruined your opportunity, you will have to ever receive it, and you're not even worthy of it, it doesn't matter. God still takes great pleasure in you. You are his creation, his masterpiece. He is willing to give everything he has just for you. He's not only willing, he already did. Amen. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, teach us to love. We see God's love in his promise of heaven. He will wipe away from every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things have passed away. Death finds its demise at the gates of heaven. Inside, we will find no tears, pain, or mourning, only love. Now that's heaven. Truly heaven, a promised land assured to believers in Christ by the Father who loves us. Imagine waking up in this world and there's no more COVID-19. There's no more sickness. There's no more cancer. There's no more disabilities. Imagine waking up and there's no more violence, no more racism, no more killing, no more death. Imagine waking up and there's just a peace of God which transcends all understanding, that will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God, teach us to love so that we may be a part of your heavenly kingdom when your son Jesus Christ returns. Love could be explained as wanting the best for someone, and that's exactly what God intends for us. My brothers and sisters, God loves you simply because he loves you. You don't have to work for his affection. And you don't have to work for anybody else's affection in this world. You don't have to set yourself straight before God can pour out his love over you. Verse 7 and 9 in the New International Version translated from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another. or love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God absolutely loves you, my brother and sister. It's hard to get our minds around it, but it is true. We can find sweet rest in this very fact. His love for us is based on his love alone. And it has nothing to do with us. His love for us is what makes his grace toward us possible. God loved us long before we ever loved him. He loved us before we ever were anything at all. And nothing can ever change his mind about loving us. He is the only constant we can depend on. He never changes. Amen? Amen. This is where the faith journey starts. Understanding that God loves you. If you do not have an assurance of God's love, your faith journey won't last long. There's no force more powerful than the love our Heavenly Father has for us, his children. 1 Corinthians 13:13 stated, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. His love can move mountains. It can stop the roaring seas. It can heal broken bones. It can heal wounded hearts. It can even transform lives and set free those held captive by sin and shame. So great is his love for you and me that he sent his only son to die that we might live through him. God is a loving father who will always love you no matter what. Take time today to receive the debt of his love. Allow his love to heal you, transform you, free you, and lead you to the abundant life he has always longed to give. This morning, may God bless you, and may God keep you on his holy Sabbath today. Amen.
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 Before we have our benediction, Pastor Weegar, would you like to say anything?
Well, I just want to say happy Sabbath, and we bless God for using our young people today and for giving that powerful word to Elder McCarter. May God bless Amen. Us all. We learn to love one another because we are of God and God mm-hmm. is love. God bless you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At this time, we'll have our benediction by our very youngest on the program today, Mallory Rose.
Dear Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for all the colors of the rainbow. Thank you for creating all the humans. Dear Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for all the colors of the rainbow. Thank you for creating all the humans that you created. Thank you for helping us be kind to one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen.
Thank you, Valerie. I just wanted to say on behalf of the leadership team here at Berean, we are thankful for everyone who chose to tune in today, everyone who will be able to listen to this word. And we hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. We know that the virus and the pandemic, what have you, has kept us away from our church home, and we're not able to be in present and to give back to the Lord. But we do have other means to do that. If you've been blessed today and you want to help further the ministry here at Berean, feel free to visit our webpage at BereanBatonRouge.com. In the middle of the webpage, there is a link in order to give. Be a blessing to someone. Be a blessing to yourself And you know, God will bless you in return.
Amen. We thank you all once again for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy your Sabbath day. We hope that this youth and young adult worship experience has blessed you and will encourage you to bless others. Amen. Have a happy Sabbath, you guys.
Have a happy Sabbath.